Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Scarecast. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We've got some cool guests, a cool guest host, and all this stuff. But first, I wanted to say good evening in my worst Transylvanian to my co-host and buddy, the one and only Jake. How are you, Jake?
Good evening. I am doing great tonight. I am winding down from an incredible weekend in Wilmington with Comic-Con / Fan Expo at the Cape, am I saying this right, the Cape Fear Convention Center?
It's actually the Coastline Convention Center, although it looks like Cape Fear Convention Center. Yep, Coastline Convention Center down there on Nut Street, part of Best Western Plus. And it was a blast. You were there. You were a guest. We were glad to have you. It was a lot of fun. Had a huge crowd. And so you had fun, Jake. Huh?
I got to say that was my first con that I've been a part of, that I've ever been to, and it was something to speak about. It was a very good time. It's something that I was not, what's the right way to say it? Not used to. I'm not used to that. And it was a very good time. Everybody was very cool. It was, nobody knew who I was, but then again, everybody talked to me like they knew who I was. It was very cool. I was very honored to be there.
That's great. And you are certainly welcome at all the other Comic Cons that we produce, and people told me they enjoyed meeting you, and it was great. So thank you for being there, Jake.
It was a lot of fun. It was really a lot of fun. It was, like I said, I've seen a lot of things that most people don't, and I was kind of out of my element. But being at that Comic-Con was definitely something that it was a lot of fun. And I talked to a lot of people that I look forward to seeing again at other cons that you put on and you sponsor or set up, what have you. It was a freaking blast. It really was.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, we had a good time. We had a great crowd. It was headlined, of course, by Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. We had Eastern Exotics there with their snakes. People love their snakes. We had the V-Rex Virtual Reality Arcade. Everybody had a blast. Yes, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We had we had Elite Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Mixed Martial Arts. They were great. They had some of their kids, like ages like 6 to 12, fighting. We had a panel on Harry Potter put on by the New Hanover County Library. That was really great. We had a roundtable discussion about Game of Thrones. Papa Strode did a Q&A. So it was just a blast all around, and we will be back. The next Cape Fear event being the granddaddy of them all, the biggest con in the Outer Banks, the Cape Fear Comic Con, August the 25th on Saturday at the Coastline Conference Center. We got some big guests that we'll be announcing very, very soon. And so I hope everyone can join us in Wilmington. And we also have coming up two events that will rock your universe if you're in the Midlands of South Carolina. First of all, March 3rd, we have the Camden, South Carolina Comic-Con, the Camden Shriners Club, and sponsored by GameStop. We're pleased to have GameStop there, featuring Papa Stro again and Eastern Exotics, Greg Bo Watson, Cassie Page, Dave Atwell. Of course, if Jake can make it, Jake can be there, and we're just gonna have a great time there in Camden, and that is the precursor to the one and only, the thing that nobody can believe is happening. The Lizard Man Festival is happening June 8th through the 10th in South Carolina. I'm the only person crazy enough to do it, and we're going to have a great time. It's sponsored by the Bishopville Lee County Chamber of Commerce. No, it's going to be fun. We've already got vendors lining up. We're going to have a chili cook-off. We're going to have Lyle Blackburn, who wrote the book Lizard Man, Monster of Bishopville, The True Story. So we're going to have a lot of great things. It's going to be fun. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be paranormal. It's going to be Scarecast. It's going to be Comic-Con stars. It will be everything. So that just lets everyone know what's coming up and going on here in the world of Scarecast. So anyway, great to have everybody here tonight. First of all, I want to say hello to our co-host for the evening, a very good friend who's a huge wrestling fan that I met through none other than Papa Stro, Steve Logan. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. Excited for our guest for tonight, and just happy to be on and talk about horror and wrestling and paranormal and whatever.
That's great. What I like about Steve, everybody needs to know, is during the day I'll get these texts on Messenger, and he'll like send me a wrestling match to watch and whatever. So I have some entertainment during the day to break up my long hard days. So it's always good to get those texts from Steve. And today I got a text. It was like a four-way tag match, and two of the what were they? Two of the teams. One was Bacon and Eggs. Now, I don't know if I'd ever want to be in a tag match with Bacon and Eggs. I don't know which one I'd want to go after first. But then there was this team called the Hounds of Hades. And tonight, we are fortunate to have as our guest the Hounds of Hades. Right now, we have with us Austin Shadows. Austin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm still alive. So I'm not going to complain. Nobody wants to hear it anyways, right?
Well, I don't know. You probably complain a little bit. We're enough grumpy old guys. We can probably take it. No, it's wonderful having you here. You're one of the great tag team that is making so much noise in the Carolinas and Virginia. I mean, like, where all are you guys wrestling? You and your partner Jackson. I know you're in the Carolinas, but what other states are you wrestling in these days?
Right now we are currently wrestling in Virginia. We wrestle in North Carolina. We are looking at expanding here before long. We've been in talks with Delaware. We have our eyes really set on Ohio. It's a nice hotbed for wrestling action. Jackson, I'm sure he's got some states in mind that he would love for us to go to.
Now, I got to ask, where are you looking to go in North Carolina?
Where wouldn't we like to go? We have our eyes set on some of the higher companies that have made big noise here lately. We would love to wrestle for AML Wrestling. We would love to be able to go to PWX. One of the highlights of Carolinas that most wrestling fans know about is WrestleCade every November. I mean, all of these are places that we hope to one day be able to grace with the violence that we provide.
Well, the reason I ask is because right here in my small itty-bitty town of Hubert, North Carolina, it's not a major center, but is at least once a month we have, and I see it on the sign because I drive by it daily. For Hubert, North Carolina, there's always wrestling that comes through Hubert, North Carolina. And if you're going to be there, I will make sure that I show up to do a live feed through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/scarycast, and do a live feed interview with, if you're in Jacksonville, I'll make sure I show up and I will do a live feed and we'll do a live interview and you can share it through your page, personal, or, you know, your major page, whether it's a different entity. I'll do it through my personal page and the Scarycast page. If it's locally here, close enough, we can do a broadcast to where we'll, you know, it'll be thousands of people that see this to bring, because, I mean, I grew up to WWF, WWE, all of that stuff, you know, as a kid in the 80s and 90s. And if we can make that happen, that would be incredible. We could really, really push everything through to make it something more than what it is now, even though it's still huge, but we can really promote it and make it something bigger, you know?
Yeah. So that'd be great, because I'll tell you what, the world needs more independent wrestling. I mean, Austin, don't you agree that independent wrestling is, it's great for the fans. It really engages them. When you look at the WCW, WWE, the New Japan, everything, the fans are kept back. But independent wrestling, when you do shows, you guys get really close to the fans, and they love to see you, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And
I
think that's great. Now, tell us, Steve, you're here because you're one of our experts in indie wrestling, and I'm going to turn it over for a minute or two here with you and talk to Austin. I know you got some great questions for him, and then Jake and I will pop in as needed.
All right,
yeah, I believe Jackson's on here with us too.
Yeah, do you know when he's calling in?
He was supposed to have already called in. If he hasn't, don't worry, I got us, guys.
Okay.
you take care of that, okay?
And one of the things I think we were talking about is how independent wrestling is intimate. Do you like working in front of small crowds as opposed to some of the big crowds that are on TV?
Yeah, I really do. I think one of the great things about it is when you get to go to an independent show like some of them we do, you get a not only a closer view of things, but if you watch any of our matches, there is several moments. You know, you can go to any show and there's several moments. There's nothing like a independent show, because we get down. We don't have rules as WWE, because we're not the sponsors of big times. When you get the small crowds, they're hungry. We drop down. We can interact with the fans. You know, good guys. I've seen them go in the middle of match. You know, go up and, you know, take selfies with fans. You know, you're not going to see that happening on these big television.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the great thing about independent wrestling. Really neat things can happen, and the fans can experience things they'll never see at a major network televised show. So, you know, I've always loved independent wrestling. Austin,
you know,
in
what?
Case you didn't know, who's that?
I have to ask. It's a video that surfaced. Was it 2 weeks ago with Brock Lesnar, and I can't remember who he was going against, and the dude threw a knee to Brock's face, and Brock came back and smoked him a couple of times with a hard right during a, was it WWE WWF, WCW, whatever it was.
It was a triple threat with Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, and Kane.
Yeah, yeah. And it, because, I mean, I was watching professional wrestling as a kid in the 80s. And then, because it always came out as it was, quote unquote, and I use that term loosely, as being choreographed. But even still, that shit fucking hurts. And I'm using very strong language. It hurts. Regardless of what you do, it hurts. And then to see that bout come out and Lesnar coming into, you know, the wrestling scene, going to UFC, and then going back into the wrestling scene, the hits that he gave and that he took, is that, I mean, this is something that I'm curious about. How much of it is choreographed? How much of it is, does this shit really hurt as much as it comes down to? How bad does it actually hurt? Because, I mean, I'm experienced in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai kickboxing, Kali, boxing, karate. Like, with what I've gone through the Marine Corps, I know what is painful. But with the world of professional wrestling, how bad does that shit actually hurt? Because I see some stuff, it's like, oh my god. Like, I've been through some shit that I was like, I don't want to go through that again. But then again, I see stuff that you guys do on TV. It's like, that looks like it just would really be really, really painful. So with that bout being said, and then UFC, and then WCW, WWF, WWE, and all that stuff, how painful really is it? Like, I've always wondered, because, I mean, I want to know.
To answer the question at hand, to describe how painful it is, I know several independent professional wrestlers and wrestlers that have went on to bigger and better things. I know guys in NXT right now that have come from the Marines, and they'll tell you it hurts. The scientific answer that is there is every time you see one of us get slammed from somebody's shoulders or, you know, higher, it is equivalent to a 35-mile-an-hour car crash.
Damn.
Yes. And that's okay. Not the big wrestler talk. That is what the doctors themselves have said about professional wrestling. So you think every time a guy bumps that 35-mile-an-hour car crash, an average match, you're going to bump anywhere from 5 to 15 times. I mean, I'm not great at math, but 35 times 5 to 15, that's self-explanatory, that you're walking out feeling like you were in a car crash.
All right, Austin, this is Dr. John. I got a question for you. You pull somebody up, you're going to do a suplex on them off the third turnbuckle. That's going to tear somebody up, isn't it?
My partner Jackson, he does a superplex to people, and just that one move alone, to explain a little more about professional wrestling to help you understand it. If one board is out of place, because a professional wrestling ring is steel beams that are run left to right on both directions, and then it's 2x6 boards that go all the way across, and then you have a 1/4-inch to 1-inch pad that goes across that. So if one board goes slightly out of place and comes up, giving a superplex can not only paralyze both men, but it has a potential of killing them, because if it hits the neck, you could break your neck easily.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, you know what? I've got to do a fucking name drop here. I've got to do a it's a very good friend of mine out of Kansas City. He runs a wrestling company out of Kansas City. It's Kansas City Extreme Wrestling. One of my boys that I was with in the Marine Corps, Jordan, he goes by Smiley. He based his entire career off of wrestling. And if anybody listening wants to go check him out, I'm kind of drawing a blank here, but it's Kansas City Extreme Wrestling, and he is making huge waves in the wrestling community. And I follow him because, like I said, he's one of my boys that, you know, I served with him, and he was huge into the wrestling scene. But he's making a name for himself in the wrestling community, Kansas City Extreme Wrestling. He's killing it. And I've got a couple other of my boys that I've served with, I've played with in the music community, that are doing UFC fighting as well. But, you know, watching some of this stuff with the wrestling stuff, even though it's, you know, you look back at the 80s and 90s, and yeah, it's somewhat choreographed. It's an entertainment side of it. But knowing what I've gone through with my fighting background, regardless of the fact, this shit hurts. I mean, even if you're talking to each other, I mean, you get slammed from 8-10 feet in the air. You get slammed on a platform, even though it may have a springboard. It doesn't feel good.
None at all.
It is not,
none at all.
It is, yeah, it is not fun. It really isn't. But
no,
you
no,
know,
no,
you
no,
kind of
no,
got to
no,
give
not.
Props.
And we discussed this because the how important it is to keep the ring in good shape. Otherwise, I mean, you can get killed. And so anyway, Austin, I wanted to get back because Steve and I had come up with a couple of questions. We wanted you to talk a little bit about, I guess, your background. Kind of how did you get started in this business, and who trained you?
Okay. I guess the backstory would go, as a young kid, I watched pro wrestling and I decided I was going to do it. No, that's just the speedy version that everybody's going to tell you. The true backstory is I watched wrestling as a kid, but I wasn't a wrestling fan, if that makes sense. Like, I was a fan because I was a kid and there was gladiators fighting on my TV. But if you asked me a whole lot about wrestling, it didn't have to do with Macho Man and Hogan. I really didn't know a whole lot. Well, I moved down to the Carolinas, and by then I believe I was 11 years old when I moved to the Carolinas, and that's when I really got exposed to wrestling, because North Carolina is wrestling country. So once you get down here, I learned about independent professional wrestling and how there was shows locally and whatnot. So I would go to them, and I remember it was my 7th grade year in middle school. There was a flyer for Danger Zone Professional Wrestling. It was going to be at the local high school. So I was real curious about it. me and my mom went, and while there, I talked to somebody about actually learning professional wrestling. And the guy told me that I would have to wait until I was 18 to learn. So I said, okay, that's what he thinks. At that point, I started watching more about professional wrestling and, you know, diving into a different side of it. So we fast forward, when I did become 18, I went to another local show called the Universal Wrestling Council, UWC. It was in Wilson, North Carolina at the fairgrounds. And I talked to the owner on MySpace. And he told me, talk to him at the show. So I went up to, when I got to the show, I made my way through to talk to him. And he told me to come do a tryout in Greenville, North Carolina. Well, I did the tryout, and wrestling wasn't for me. That's when I realized that no matter how the, I call it the F word, no matter how fake people call professional wrestling, I realized real quick that it took a lot of athleticism, and it took a very high pain tolerance, because it felt like landing on my front porch. And I did not like that. I'm 18, and I was not willing to go through a car crash repeatedly for somebody's entertainment. Mm-hmm. So things, you know, went on with life. And a couple years later, a guy named the Assassin Dwayne Allen opened a school up known as the Extreme Shock Wrestling School. I contacted him about going. He was at first very reluctant. He did not want to do it. He had heard, you know, I had bad habits, whatnot, because, of course, everybody who loves professional wrestling does the backyard stuff. Anybody listening, please advise you. We've all done it, but don't do it. It's stupid. Well, the assassin let me come to his school. I started training. That was in 2008, 2009, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And at that time, I trained for a year. So it had to be in 08. I trained for over a year. I made my debut as a professional wrestler in a Shane Alex Small Rumble to Remember. It was a close friend of mine, and a fellow professional wrestler's son had passed away, so we did a show in his memorial. I was gracious enough to be presented as number three. It's done just like the Royal Rumble. I come out. My trainer was number one. He had already eliminated number two, and I was shortly eliminated afterwards by the time number five come out. I made my singles debut September of 2012. So that tells you how much dedication you have to professional wrestling. That's a 3-year time period before I actually got to get in the ring by myself and wrestle somebody.
But
The dedication that it gave me, the lessons that I've learned have taken me through not only professional wrestling but life. But my very first singles match was against the Assassin Dwayne Allen himself. So, trainer versus student. Yeah. Since that match, I have gone on to join up with my partner in the tag team. That was in October of 2016. In between, I've wrestled for several companies. And since you mentioned Hubert earlier, you'll be gracious to know I've wrestled in Charlotte, North Carolina, Hubert, North Carolina, Beaufort, North Carolina, New Bern, North Carolina, Havelock, North Carolina, Wilson, North Carolina, Ahoskie, North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The list goes on and on and on and on.
Dr. John, I got a quick question for you. Have you ever wrestled in Cordova, North Carolina?
I have not.
Yay, I found a place where someone hasn't wrestled. All they've got is a volunteer fire station, and all they can do, you can get the ring in there, but you better not, I mean, you can't do a suplex because there's just not enough room up there. But I've known so many, Stro, we did wrestling when I was announcing for the Italian Stallion. We'll try to get the Hounds of Hades a gig in Cordova, and you'll find out what miniature wrestling is all about. How's that?
Well, to be honest, we actually have wrestled in a place that has extremely low ceilings. It's one of our favorite places to actually wrestle. It's in Pelham, North Carolina, for Pure Pro Wrestling.
Wow.
It is such low ceilings. I do it's one of our famous moves as a tag team. Jackson will body slam the guy into the middle of the ring. I get up on the second rope as he tags me. I jump off and do a senton. And what that is basically, for those who don't know the moves of wrestling, I jump off and I will land on my opponent with my back, basically like in a cannonball position. Just all that, bam. First time we ever wrestled in Pelham, we did not think about the ceilings. We just kind of got out there to do our natural thing. Jackson body slams the guy, and I noticed the guy's feet almost hit the ceiling when he body slammed him. So I was thinking, that's not good. Jackson tags me, go up to the second rope, and my hair is touching the popcorn ceiling.
Oh, shit.
And all I'm thinking is, this ain't good. So I don't jump up. I just jump out as hard as I can and still manage to pull this senton off. But that's how low the ceilings were for you.
Oh,
wow.
You have to be adaptable when it comes to independent wrestling in the Carolinas, don't you?
Hey, one thing for independent professional wrestling in the Carolinas will teach you from city to city and spot to spot is adapt, learn, and adapt your adaptations.
That's right. And you know, I've got some friends. They are very popular in the Spartanburg area. It's the Professional Legends. And here's what they say. And I want to get your take on this. I think you might enjoy hearing this. It's Buckshot Carter. He says, "Doesn't matter if I hold a belt or not. The only thing that matters is when I walk in the dressing room after being out there, that the crowd had a great time. That's all that matters to me." He's a heel, and that he's actually one of those heels that's become very popular in the local wrestling area. And I think I'm guessing that you probably agree with him. The only thing that really matters is what those fans say when you get out of there, and how mad are they at you, or how happy, or whatever. What's your take on that?
Well, I couldn't agree no less. No matter if I've been the good guy, I've been the bad guy, we are the bad guys most places we go now, and all I have ever cared about after I'm done with the match is two things. Is the boss happy? And if the fans are happy. Because if neither one of them are happy, he's not going to bring me back, and they're not going to want to come back. And if they're not coming back, I can see why he doesn't want to bring me back. So that's the two things that are first things that go through my head after I'm done with the match. Win, lose, or draw, that is the first two thoughts.
You know,
yep.
It's funny you say that, because I've, you know, with my career and, you know, my career as a Marine, and I was a combat Marine, and we had to know hand-to-hand ground fighting. Like, that was our biggest thing. And one of my boys, you know, he's down in Arkansas right now. And he has gyms that he has started that are tailored to, you know, guys like me that have gotten out and want to go into fighting. you know, whether it's wrestling or, you know, like my boy yeah. that's down in Kansas City that has Kansas City Extreme Wrestling, or my boy that's down in Arkansas that he has a gym tailored to vets for an outlet for us to where we can get out there and fight. It's not, you know, getting pissed off and screwing somebody up because we're just pissed off. It's because we want to fight. And I've been propositioned by a couple clubs here in the area that I live. Hey, you should come fight for us. I'm too damn old. I'm too out of shape for this. And this is some UFC shit. Would it be fun? It would be, for me, it'd be a blast because it's an outlet. And my background is BJJ, or for those who don't know what that is, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, Muay Thai, and my main is Kali, Eskrima Arnis, Filipino knife fighting, hand fighting, swords. You know, Eskrima is, you know, the sticks, the whole nine yards. But even still, it incorporates into the professional wrestling scene to where you can have a lot of fun with doing it and still show that it's entertainment as well. But I, like, my singer for my band, you know, I mean, this is Scary Cast. We talk about horror punk. We talk about horror, supernatural, paranormal. You know, the wrestling comes into it as well. It's the whole spectrum of everything. My lead singer is, he's in Missouri right now, in Branson, and he's an MMA fighter. And he gets into this, you know, he incorporates the horror punk part of it, and he's a legitimate badass. He really is. And I've thrown him into some contacts with some of my boys that are within his general area. Like, hey, you need to go talk to these guys because this could be something for you. And he's focusing more on the MMA side of it. But even still, you know, the MMA, the wrestling side of it, it's really one and the same if you really dig deep into it. And it's really a beautiful thing because it's an outlet for guys, you know, like me that have, you know, mental issues that we just want to go out there and fight, get out the aggression, and still entertain people. I mean, with me, like, I would love, like I said, I've been propositioned by a couple clubs here in town. I would love to go out and show what I'm capable of. And if it's, you know, hey, we're going to do this and have a good time with it, there's not many people that you find on a daily basis that are willing to say, okay, this is for a good time. We're out here to show some people some shit. Most of the time, what I run into is who's got the bigger dick is what it boils down
to.
You'll have that in all contact sports.
Yeah. And
yeah, you know, and I guess that really is the way it is. Now, I'll tell you what, Steve has got a couple pretty cool questions that he wanted to ask you. Steve, you there with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, get on, because you had a couple of really great questions you wanted to talk with
Austin
about.
Yeah, I wanted to know who came up with the idea for your tag team name, the Fountains of Hades, and the look and presentation and the promos and just the how the Hounds of Hades evolved into what it is and the theme music, just all of it, like if you can address all of it.
Okay. I have no problem addressing all of it. Let's start with the name. The way it came about was Jackson had actually originally approached me about doing a tag team, and I really wasn't wanting to because at that time I had already done a tag team, and the guy I was with, his life kind of took him in another direction, so I was kind of left just kind of doing my own thing. So I wanted to start focusing a little more on that. But an opportunity came, and a promotion had a tag team spot tournament coming up. So I decided, you know, we'll do the tag team. So, of course, they were like, well, you guys need a name. Well, at that time, I was wearing black and gold gear with a dragon on the side. And Jackson was doing this little, he's more of the country boy going on. And so we were going to go with something like, I don't know, like the Country Dragons or the Dragon Brothers. You know, we kept throwing different random names. One of the names was going to be Blood and Beard because we're brothers and we're both bearded. I mean, there are several names. But I am a fan of the TV show Supernatural. And my girlfriend and I was actually watching it while I was trying to think of tag team names, and she's got to hear about wrestling all the time. So we're sitting there watching Supernatural, and it was one of the very first episodes they actually introduced the Hellhounds. And when they did it, I was like, well, that's a different take on Hellhounds, because anybody who ever watches Supernatural, they're not like the Greek mythological version of it, you know, Cerberus. Supernatural, it's independent dogs coming attacking you and nobody can see them. So I was like, that'd be a pretty nifty name, Hellhounds. And then I was like, nah. I sent it to Jackson and got his opinion on it. He kind of liked it, but we both agreed it sounded just kind of bland. I mean, it sounded like anybody would have chose that name or whatever. So then I threw a name out that we almost ran with. It was going to be Disciples of Anubis, which nice. Anybody who knows Egyptian mythology knows Anubis is the god of death and abomination. So right. From that, we were going to run with it, but then we realized the initials was DOA, and there's already been an infamous DOA in professional wrestling. So put it back on a thought, and all of a sudden it just kind of hit us, because the creativity helps with the promoting and things like that, and together we just make a really good unity. So I wanted to use something different. So I was looking up different gods and whatnot, and it clicked on me. Hades. He's not evil like everybody assumes, because everybody wants to associate Hades with Satan, which is two way different ideologies. But I like the term Hounds of Hades. That way we're not a three-headed dog. We're individuals created by Hades. So that's where the name come about. And the look from there kind of just evolved. Our very first match, I wore black and red shorts. Jackson has some black and red tights. That way we could have that unity look, you know, same colors, whatnot. I ended up getting some matching tights after that for our next show. Also, as myself, I had already wore the vest out, so Jackson got a vest to match me. Then we ordered our masks from the UK, not the UK, from the Ukraine, which, funny story, give y'all something that's not so boring sounding. The skulls we wear, when we ordered them, they came with the email that let us know that the Russian army could intercept our masks, and if that was the case, the creator would handcraft us new ones or send a refund if anything happened to them. After the Russian army inspected them, it was on us. So that was a fun little waiting process to see if we were going to have to deal with the politics of the new election interfering with our masks. And the song that we currently use is Let Me Burn by Whitechapel. And we chose that because the beginning of the song is basically let you know what we're about. The mouth of hell is open wide. After that, the lyrics, you cannot reason with a man who hates everything. I have the world burning on my arm, and that is not a gimmick. That is not a character. That is Austin himself. Nothing against anybody, but I'm a very angry individual. So it just seemed like a very fitting song.
Wow. Hey, Austin, I'm going to break in here just a second because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have Jackson Shadows with us. Jackson, how are you doing?
Good. How y'all doing tonight?
Boy, we're glad to have you. We were just hearing some great stories from Austin. So I tell you what, Steve, why don't you ask Jackson maybe a question or two like you've been able to ask Austin, because we've been having a great time talking about you guys, your experience, and where your name came from and everything. Steve, I'm going to turn this one over to you and say hello to Jackson.
Hey, Jackson, I think we've met at BCW when you're performing. And I was asking Austin how the Hounds of Hades became what it is as a tag team, like the look and the music and all of that. And I wanted to know how you two got together. I mean, well, your take on how you guys got together and how you would like to comment on how you two became a tag team.
Yeah, well, a little bit over a year ago, I was sharing the locker room with Austin, and I asked him, what do you think about just teaming up as brothers and doing our own thing? And he was a little reluctant at first because things were going semi-decent for him as just, you know, rolling for himself. And with a little bit of me keep on asking and trying to get in his head about it, finally he decided to say, all right, let's give it a try. So we had our first match at Next Evolution Wrestling, and we both got in the back and, like, why weren't we doing this a year from now? Because just for our chemistry together is just amazing. You know, I love being in the ring with him. I love doing the things that we do in the ring. It's just it's an overwhelming effect to the feelings that I get tagging with Austin. And from that point on, we, you know, like how he already talked about how we became with the name, how we got all our stuff together. It just, everything started fitting into place, and we've been on a total destruction since we started. We've captured the Edge tag team titles. When Edge decided to come back doing shows again, we were the first tag team champions back. Then about a month and a half later, we won the tag team championship in Shockwave. And we just been putting people's names at the top of the list, and we've been scratching them off as we go. And we have a lot more on the list, but they're not going to be on the list very much longer because we're starting to run out of names.
Well, that's a good thing for you guys. I mean, you know, you start running out of names, you're going to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's exactly what you want. It really is.
Indeed. And, you know, to touch on the fact of what Jackson said, I remember our, I believe it was our second match ever we did in Wilson. It was, you know, the second match as a tag team. We hit our finishing move on a guy, and, I mean, flawless. Pow. Jackson put him on his shoulders, a super kick. We got to the back, and one of the guys even told us, he's like, man, I can tell you guys have been doing this for years together. No, it's our second match. So, I mean, to have two guys come together and have that kind of chemistry, it's a very rare thing. It's a rare thing in the man world to have guys be able to click like that, let alone to come together and be able to, you know, have that kind of chemistry in a wrestling ring.
That's for sure.
That's a great story. That means that, in a sense, you were meant to wrestle together, and you've got a great future, because all great tag teams, you know, even from when I was a kid up till now, the great tag teams, there's only so much you can train. You have to get in the ring. You have to know. You have to be able to anticipate what your partner is going to do, and you got to be able to react. And again, you got to pop the crowd. You've got, you know, it takes so much in ring sense, doesn't it? And anybody can answer. Either one of you can answer that. It takes a lot of in ring sense of where you are and what's going on, doesn't it?
Indeed. I mean, there's things that people outside of professional wrestling that will never understand it, but to be able for me and Jackson to team up and to go out and to take people from their lives, literally from their lives. You know, we use the moniker, you know, we collect souls, and not to sound stupid about it, but when we're in the ring and fans are watching us, the truth is we have their souls with us, because they're not worried about home. They're not worried about bills. They're not worried about the bullies at school. They're worried about, hey, I want to see Austin and Jackson get their ass kicked, because Austin just scared this little kid sitting beside me. He yelled in his face. That's not cool. You a grown man scaring children. So, when, you know, we do that, and we literally have absorbed you in. I have your soul in my hand, and there's nothing. You show me one person besides a professional wrestler who can tell you they have legitimately taken you from your very life and put you in their world, and then put you back in your life, and you didn't even realize it.
Steve, that's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to react to it, because it was such a – you had to ponder after hearing something like that.
That's professional wrestling, baby.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. So, Jackson, tell us, because we talked a little bit to Austin about his background, and so can you give us a little bit about your background, and how did you end up in this crazy, awesome world of professional wrestling? Are you with us?
Jack, yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
good.
What's your background, bro?
What was the question? I couldn't hear you. I was breaking up really bad.
Sorry about that. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got in this crazy, wonderful world of professional wrestling. How did you get started? What triggered you to get into this?
Well, I've been watching wrestling since I was probably 2 or 3 years old. My great-granddaddy got me into wrestling. I used to watch Saturday morning Power Hour every single Saturday morning with him, eating some Bojangles biscuits. And from the first time that I seen the Rock and Roll Express, I was hooked. And I just, there was nothing that could get in the way of me watching wrestling the rest of my childhood. And once I got older, I started, you know, understanding wrestling a lot more than I did when I first started, because when I first started, it was just the biggest thing in life to me. You know, just seeing these guys in the ring doing what they did was just, you know, so big to a part of my life. And my biggest influence was Sting. When you hear that music start and then him come out of that curtain, it just gave you the biggest feeling that you could get of excitement watching something. And I told my great-granddaddy that one day I was going to be a wrestler. And he used to tell me that I needed to get real big and make sure that I was bigger than everybody else so I wouldn't get hurt. And one Saturday morning, I went to my great-grandfather's house to watch wrestling. And we had got there probably about 15 minutes before Power Hour came on at 9:05. So I went out to the backyard to my swing. And all of a sudden, I heard my grandma screaming. So I ran in the house, and my grandma was on the floor screaming, crying. I went over to my great-grandfather that was sitting in the chair, and to what I thought, at being 9 years old, he was sleeping. And I was trying to wake him up, tell him something's wrong with Granny, need to get up. And he passed away before we got there, waiting to watch wrestling with me. And literally at that moment, I said to myself and to him that I was going to become a wrestler and I was going to make him proud. And then that's what I made sure to do. And I started a little late because I had a child. I had to do what grown-ups do and get a job and support my child. And once my daughter reached a certain age, I decided she was old enough to not have me there every single weekend. And so I started to do my training in Virginia Beach at a wrestling training school called SPW. And that's pretty much it. From that point on, I was in it till I die, and that's how I feel.
It's nothing like dedication. And telling your grandfather, how old were you when your grandfather passed away?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, how old were you when your grandfather passed away?
Like I said, I believe I was 9 years old.
Wow. And now today you are making him proud because you and your tag team partner are just a premier indie tag team partnership in the Carolinas, and it's great having you here. It's great having people that know how to exceed and make the crowd happy and everything. Steve, back to you, buddy.
Yeah, I know, Jackson, you mentioned Sting. Is there any tag teams that influenced you and Austin? And whoever wants to go first.
Go ahead, Jackson. I'll let you go first.
All right. Repeat that question again. Like I said, I'm in a bad area.
Sorry. Yeah, I think you said Rock and Roll Express earlier. Was there any other tag teams that influenced you and Austin as a tag team?
Yeah. I've always loved tag team wrestling.
Yeah. What are some of your favorites besides the rock and roll?
Well, I was a big Road Warriors fan, of course. And, you know, I was always a WCW guy. I was never really into the WWF. But, you know, some things just stick out when you, you know, in other programs, in which Demolition was one of them things that stuck out. You know, I loved the physicality of the team. You know, like I said, when I grew up, you know, I loved all the baby faces. But then as I got older, I loved everything, not just the baby faces, but the heels. And I liked how the heels would come out there and do their job and not care what the fans thought, not care what the people in the back thought. You know, just went out there and did what they were supposed to do and beat the baby faces up. And that really, you know, put something on me to where thinking, like, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. And going back to when I decided to ask Austin to be in the team, the main thing I said was, we need to be heels. And when we went out there, our first match, everybody in the back told us, as soon as we went in the back, this is what y'all should have been doing since you started. And that's how I felt my whole life growing up, that that's what I wanted to do. And it was a great feeling hearing that from somebody else, saying that what we were doing was a great thing. And
was it working?
We try building up on that. Every single time we get in the ring, we get a little bit meaner, we hit a little bit harder, so we can get our point across that we are the Hounds. And we are here to bring something new to professional wrestling and get all these little babies that can't hang and can't handle us out of the way so we can get what was truly ours. And that's the gold in every single company that we put a step foot in.
Hey Jackson, this is Dr. John. I got to tell you something. There is a very inspirational quote when Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He said something, and I hope you will appreciate it, and I hope you'll keep this in your heart. He said, "It's great to be a wrestler, but bad guys are forever."
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think that
good
is
word.
A prophetic and incredible statement. I mean, Scott Hall knew what he was talking about. So anyway, I give that to you as your gift from me tonight, and I hope you'll always treasure it and go check it out online. You can find it. Bad guys are forever. When he says that, you get a chill up and down your spine, because that man knows what a bad guy is, doesn't he?
That's for sure, and I remember that speech, you know.
Yeah.
Just as much as we are wrestlers, we are fans. You know, if you're not a fan of wrestling and you wrestle, then you're in the wrong profession, in my, you know, the way I think. You know, people want to talk about marks and stuff like that. That's just bullshit, in my opinion. You know, we love this business for a reason. You know, it's not just to be famous. It's not for the glory, and it sure as hell ain't for the money. You know, we do this because we love it, and you only love something because you already loved it. You know, it's a hard thing to explain to some people, but people that know this business and are part of this business, they'll understand when I say it like this, that wrestling is our life, 24/7. You know, when we're not in the ring, we're watching wrestling on tape. You know, we're learning from our mistakes from previous matches while watching the people that paved the road for us years and years ago. You know, I more or less love the 80s of wrestling and some of the early 90s. You know, once wrestling got over about 1998, kind of kind of got away from a lot of people with the way that Vince McMahon runs things and does things. And I am blessed that there is indie wrestling, so we can showcase our talents and we can do what we love and forget about all the politics and all the bullshit that's involved in wrestling past us. But for me and Austin, you know, our dream is to one day be a part of that. And the way things are going now, things are starting to change and starting to look really, you know, good for the future of the Hounds of Hades. You know, we have a lot of good things coming up on this year of 2018. We had a great 2017. So, you know, I really look forward to being in this team with Austin and getting better enough to be in Ring of Honor, be in the WWE, wrestle on TNA, you know, wrestle for New Japan, whatever it may be. That's our ultimate goal, is to make it to the top. And yeah, that's really all I got to say about that. Austin, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed that one, brother. You nailed that one. That's my boy.
You got a good boy there, Austin.
Yep.
Right. See, this is why we're a tag partner, man. This is why we're tag team.
I didn't want to interrupt, but I think your goal is you want to make it wherever you are, you're making that the top of tag team wrestling. I guess that would be your goal, right?
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. Our goals in professional wrestling are simple. We have a very simple system that helps us as a tag team to make sure that we feel achieved but not overachieved. Our goals are, we find a promotion we want to wrestle for. So, step one, we need to get booked there. Step two, we need to win tag team titles there. Step three, we need to find a new promotion to go even higher. The way that with doing that system, it helps us continuously go and go and go, because nobody has ever turned on professional wrestling and said, I want to be a pro wrestler in my local town. Nobody's ever said that.
Right.
And that's not the case with me and Jackson either. I'm not saying we want to be or not want to be in WWE, but if life does as we hope that we can take our craft and go to Ring of Honor. And once we get to Ring of Honor, we want to go higher. We want to go to New Japan. And once we're at New Japan, we want the offers to come in for the higher companies. Who doesn't want that? Doesn't mean that we will or won't take them. We cannot say that right now. It's too early in the future, you know what I'm saying? But we would love to continuously grow as a team and to continue. We want to go down with Legions of Doom, the Four Horsemen, the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, the Steiner Brothers, the Powerhouse. I mean, we want to go down with the Powers of Pain, Eddie and Chavo, the World's Greatest Tag Team, the Briscoe Brothers, the Young Bucks, the Hound of Hades.
Can I add one more to that list?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. I know they're old. I used to watch them. They were about to retire when I was a kid. But George and Sandy Scott, the Flying Scots, were truly one of the greatest tag team partnerships in history. They could demolish people. Even though they were faces, they were great. So I will suggest, if you haven't watched any of those old matches with George and Sandy Scott, because actually one of them was a co-owner with Jim Cornette of Smoky Mountain NWA. So you might want to check them out. Just, you know, some history there. But they really were good, and they worked together as a unit, and they couldn't be beat. So That's just some friendly advice. Check them out. They're great, too. All right?
Appreciate that.
Definitely.
Yep.
I also had another question, if you don't mind. To whoever wants to answer, to anyone that doesn't know, what is your tag team finisher or signature moves, and how did that come to be?
Our signature move would be, we call it the Hell's Bells. The setup is Jackson lifts our opponent on his shoulders. He positions their head just right. I deliver a super kick. He hits them with a flapjack as I hit their head, which sends the guy into the mat face first. Our finishing move has – I like to be technical because I watched a documentary and I'll explain it. Our finishing move is a flapjack cutter. The non-fancy term is we do a 3D. The reason I say the flapjack cutter is because if you watch the Dudleyville DVD with Bubba and Devon, that's exactly what Bubba calls it. 3D is just the fancy term they gave it. So for anybody who watches pro wrestling, stop calling it 3D. It's flapjack cutter. We do that. We love to hit it out of nowhere because it's a big, impactful move. The setup is Jackson whips the opponent into the ropes. When they come back, he lifts them up. I run, catch their head, kapow, hit them with it, drop them. The original finishing move we actually had, I'll let Jackson explain that story.
Yeah, well, see, we had a couple of issues when we decided on our first finisher, which was a kind of a rendition of the Shield, where, you know, where Seth and Dean would put up the opponent to Roman to do the powerbomb. So we put a little emphasis on it, and Austin would set him up, hand to me in the powerbomb position, and then as we were coming down for the powerbomb, Austin would come across with an insane neck breaker, and we had a couple issues with breaking people's noses when we did this move. To where we were banned from doing it a couple of promotions because people didn't want their noses broke. So, you know, we put that on the list, started trying to figure out, you know, what we could do to fix this issue. And when we kind of figured out a way to fix it, it still just didn't feel right to us. You know, it wasn't what we wanted to do. It wasn't, in my opinion, wasn't destructive enough to the opponent to guarantee the 1-2-3. So, like Austin had said, you know, we went back to the drawing board, and, you know, some people will call it a 3D that we do, but it's a lot different. Austin is so sick on the cutter when he comes out of nowhere once I put him up in the air, and it's straight devastating. Like, it makes me cringe when I can feel our opponent just fall to pieces. Like, I can just feel them, the life just taken from their bodies once we come to the mat from the devastating cutter that Austin gives to the guys. And we just have stuck with it since then, and it's brought us many, many victories. And, you know, just for example, the Airtime Rockers, that are a great tag team, much respect for them, but once they had felt our wrath, as you can say, we don't see them at the promotion that we work at anymore. They seem to not want to be in the same locker room with us because of afraid what might happen if we get around them again. Just for that one single solitary move that we you know, release, when we release the hounds, you know, when we say it's enough. And you can look at the videos on YouTube. You can see the look in Austin's eyes when we're about to set this move up, this the hate he has for the person that we're delivering this to, and just see how the person just crumbles. It's, you know, it's a great feeling to me, and I know it's a great feeling to him. It might not be a great feeling to the guy we're doing it to, but, you know, that's part of the game. You step in that squared circle, you plan on getting hurt.
Right.
Let me ask you guys a question. This is Dr. John. I think I would like, if you don't mind, for each of you to give an answer to this question. You mentioned, first of all, Jackson, you mentioned, of course, the Rock and Roll Express, gods of wrestling, truly gods of wrestling. And the brief story is that Ricky Morton is in the ring. He is on the mat. He is in total pain from a wrist lock or an ankle lock. I don't know which one. And he looks to the side, to the crowd, and he screams, "Help me. Help me." And the story goes, I think that was actually in Memphis, that absolutely fired the crowd up to the point of near hysteria. My question to you is the psychology of presenting what you do to the fans. It is very important, isn't it?
It's very important. If you don't show what you're going through, how is anybody that's sitting 40 feet from the ring going to know what's going on and what hurts and what doesn't hurt? You know, so, as like you said, you know, with Ricky Morton screaming, "Help me," it allowed the fans to know that he was in excruciating pain and he needed some help. And if you don't get that feeling across to the people that are paying their money, then you already lost. You know, the people pay to see great matches. And if you just go in there and not show any kind of affection of the hits, or, you know, show no emotion in your face when you're putting your fist down someone's throat, then it's just nothing. You know, they might as well just went and watched Waiting to Exhale or something at home on the couch.
All I've got to say is you have just answered this question about the same way that the well-known director Mike Roberts would answer it, because a director is trying to get their actors and actresses to deliver this punch. You guys, there are no retakes. You have to do it live and perfect. And I think that's where the extreme difficulty and the brilliance of professional wrestlers comes in.
That's spot on.
Thank you. All right, Austin, take a shot at it, if you don't mind, at my crazy question.
Well, I mean, it's like Jackson said, if there was no emotional psychology in professional wrestling, it goes back to, like I told you earlier, how can I pull you from your body if my opponent, when I'm stepping on his throat, ain't making eye contact with you? Because at that very moment, when he looks at you and you're looking at him and he's going, and you can tell that translates to, "Help me, the guy stepping on my throat," you know, as a person, "I don't know what it feels like if somebody step on my throat, but I know what choking feels like, and you're choking." So that tells me that hurts. That tells me I want you to get out of that, because I don't like to choke, so I don't want you to choke. If my opponent doesn't relay that reaction, and if I don't look at the person on the front row with my one eye devastating, just evilness of looking, and I tell them, "What, you want to help them?" That very moment, they're completely emotionally wrapped. If they won't, we didn't do our job. And it's like we said earlier, when I go through that curtain, I know the crowd didn't have a good time if we didn't do our job. So as professional wrestlers, I can tell you now, not to bad rep or anything, but you have two choices. I'm going to hit you, and you're going to make it look good. Or I'm going to hit you harder, and you won't have to make it look good.
You might have made a statement that equaled Razor Ramon's right there. I'm going to hit you, make it look good. Otherwise, I'm going to hit you harder, and you won't have to make it look good. That's brilliant. Thank you, Austin Shadows, for that true look at a professional and professional wrestling. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet now, Steve. I'm stunned at the brilliance of that statement. Steve, back to you, buddy.
Yeah. You mentioned how you're going to hit him hard enough to make it look good. Is there ever any situation, I see it a lot in Japanese wrestling or that strong style, do you ever have a situation where you have to one-up another wrestler where they challenge each other to chop each other, or they just trade blows or kicks or whatever when you're both fired up?
Oh, Jackson can tell you now, there is nothing more that gets me excited than a good old chop exchange. I absolutely love it. There is nothing better. You know why? Because I don't care who you are. When I draw back and I slap a guy in his chest and I stand there and he slaps me as hard as he can, you can't tell me that's fake. You can't tell me it don't hurt. You can't nobody in the world go, oh, man, look at him painting that handprint on his chest. No, because I don't, because I really hit the guy. It's beautiful. It's a great thing. Ric Flair, when he made the chop as famous as Ric Flair did, he opened a world that I personally, I know Ric Flair won't hear this, but Ric, thank you for giving professional wrestling the chop that it deserved. I'm more of a strong style wrestler, I guess you could say. When we one-up each other like that, it's not a pissing contest. It is legitimately a moment of poetry, of violence, and violence. There's a famous quote by Andrew Young. There is no problem in the world that cannot be solved by violence. A chop exchange is a perfect proof.
You're talking about UN Ambassador Andrew Young.
Yeah, I wasn't right. expecting that, a quote from him.
Yeah, UN Ambassador Andrew Young, he said it best. He was right. For a far left Democrat, said there's no problem that can't be solved by violence. And anyway, hey, Austin, thank you. That was a wonderful statement. The intellectual part
thank you.
Of wrestling.
Yeah, because Austin, when I had when you were talking about that, I had Kenta Kobashi in my mind. I don't know if you've ever seen his matches, but I love the way Kenta Kobashi chops. I've seen his matches with Samoa Joe and some others in Japan, and that's who I think of when I think of the chop, other than Ric Flair. But and then I had Ishii versus Shibata from New Japan in my mind when they traded kicks. So that's what made me want to like ask if you ever had those moments.
Oh yes, we had a match not long ago that me and a guy actually ended up in a chop exchange, and Jackson can. When we got to the back, he looked at me and says, "Y'all went to war." So if my own tag partner had a reaction like that, I know that, again, I know that the crowd had a reaction.
Right.
Yeah, it definitely was insane watching these two guys just go at it, chop after chop after. I mean, literally, these dudes chopped each other for 2 minutes. And there wasn't a blood vessel not popped on either one of these guys' chest when we got in the back. And to see every time this dude hit Austin in his chest, the smile that came across his face just from, you know, getting the pain from what he was getting, it was insane. You know, it's just it takes my breath away watching this dude just take so much from somebody and just laugh and smile at them like they just flicked them. It's crazy. The dude's got a screw loose in his head, and that's why I love him more and more every single day, just because he's insane. And,
yeah,
you know, we're two peas in a pod. You know, it's just we just kind of go a little bit different ways on our insanity, but when it all comes full circle, we're just the same of insane.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
Well,
quick
right.
plug, guys.
Yeah, I love,
so right,
I love intensity.
Now, I'll tell you what, this is Dr. John. I've got the only bad news I've got is we're only 3 minutes away from the British lady telling us goodbye. So I want a 30-second plug. We'll go with Jackson, then Austin, then Steve, and I'll wrap it up. 30-second plug. Jackson, what you got the plug coming up?
Well, yeah, well, you know, for all the people listening tonight, this Saturday in Elizabeth City, we're going to be at Next Evolution putting the boots with Sheriff Sam Bass and the Diamond Victor Griff. Now, we've already met with these individuals before, and now at Next Evolution, we have a little bit extra to give the people, because we have the Sheik in our corner. And, you know, since we allowed the Sheik and we signed that contract to be with him, a lot of good things have come. And this Saturday isn't going to be no different, because me and Austin, we're going to walk through that curtain. We're going to put the boots to them, and we're going to walk out with our hands raised. And our next way is going to be for the tag team championships against Eggs and Bacon whenever they decide to give us our shot. So make sure you make it to Elizabeth City this Saturday and watch Total Destruction from the Hounds of Hades.
We're going to all look forward to hearing about that. Thanks a lot. Austin, what you got for us?
All right, since he went ahead and plugged our next event, I would just want to go ahead and let everybody know you can find us on Facebook. Just search The Hounds of Hades. You'll obviously know who it is because you'll see two guys holding fireballs in their hands. We are on Instagram at The Hounds of Hades. You can look up Austin Shadows, Jackson Shadows, both on Facebook, spelled with a Z. Also, upcoming events will include I am in singles action with Rage Pro Wrestling at Roanoke Rapids for Rage Pro Wrestling. I am in the New Genesis Cruiserweight Tournament. I'm hopefully going to walk away with the title on that. After that, March 17th, you can see us live in Beaufort, North Carolina at the Shriners Club. We will be wrestling with Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment, taking on Noise Solution in a rematch for our Shockwave Tag Team titles. And my last plug, I actually want to say thank you to the guys here at ScaryCast for giving the Hounds of Hades such a lovely time. And we hope that we can see you guys on our violence tour this year.
We'll definitely see you again. Steve, you got 15 seconds. Then I got 3 seconds and we're done. What you got, Steve?
TW, April 14th on Saturday at the Salvation Army Community Center in Suffolk. Brian Pillman II versus Chris Silvio. Looking forward to that. And it's bad times don't last, but bad times do. I mean, bad guys.
All
do.
Right.
Sorry.
Great. Camden Comic Con, March 3rd. We'll see you next week. Scarycast. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Y'all have